When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Want to listen to the full Burt Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burt Show subscriber. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burt Show.
Does your spice rack make a tremendous statement about who you are and where you are in life?
This was a random idea I had when we talked about Abby dating unseasoned white boys.
That's right.
And I just got like this idea of like, what does everybody's spice racks look like? Or your spice drawer, or your spice, you know, like the spice shelf you have in your pantry, whatever it is. I was curious.
It always amazes me what people pick up on in like videos. Mm-hmm. If you're posting something on Reel or TikTok or whatever, how you can, the main piece of content can be so heartfelt and soulful, right? Mm-hmm. But you'll always get comments about, hey, I see a prescription drug on your counter. What exactly are you taking and why are you taking that? Or, hey, just want to let you know that picture of you and your family is just a little bit off in the background. People want to know these things that are happening in the house that seem like nothing.
Exactly. And I knew once we did these, if they, you know, how organized they are, how messy they are, exactly what spices, people would have thoughts. And we did this. I looked at the pictures, and now I have to know because I can't figure out whose spices belong to who, and it's driving me crazy.
Well, when we all decided to take this challenge on, my first thought was, do I have a spice rack? And no, I don't. I have a couple of spice drawers that I never use, but I didn't even really know what was in them.
So I got to figure out who's number one? That spice rack that you actually like pull out.
It's like in the pantry.
Yes. Yeah. Beautifully organized. I know. A lot of people thought that was me. It's not.
That's what I thought it was.
Really?
That's not you?
No, that is not me. And Tommy, you have all of our Burt Show listeners, like their guesses from Instagram and their guesses from Facebook, correct?
I do. The Insta listeners thought it was Cassie. But I love some of the comments. One says, Trishy61188 says, this is Kristen's. I look at this and think Bart would appreciate this organization. I would also imagine Kristen being annoyed if she had to lift up individual seasonings to find the right one. This is a time saver.
So we kind of have to describe these, and these are all up on our Facebook page also. But yeah, number one is like this really super, in my eyes, organized, but there's a lot of spices in there. And it must be like 9 different shelves of spices. So it indicates that this person cooks quite a bit, right?
And uses a bunch of spices.
And Facebook listeners by landslide thought it was Kristen.
Well, I'm here to let you know that is not me.
Oh.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Who is it?
Cassie.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It does.
Okay, number two is just a few wooden shelves with maybe, I don't know, 12.5 spices and some of your typicals, your Lawry's seasoning sauce, your Louisiana hot sauce are the ones right up front.
Boy, if this one doesn't scream stereotype, I don't know what does.
Yeah. There look to be like 12 behind, but clearly in this picture, those are the two items that are the biggest hints.
Most prominent.
Right.
And both Instagram and Facebook listeners were, they said it was Mo.
I wonder why. That's well, not mine.
Jeeps, it is not.
What's the inside?
It's got to be Katie's in.
Why would people assume that one was yours?
I'm assuming the lorries and the hot sauce.
Yeah.
And so, then the fish breading the fish on top, that don't hurt either. Wait, no, it's not mine.
So is it Katie's?
It's Katie's.
Okay.
All right. The third one just seems to be a pileup of spices. From I don't know, it's like 8 or 9 different bottles. And it's not really organized in any way, shape, or form except kind of thrown on each other.
I'm offended because Instagram listeners had me and Romeo tied. They thought it was one of us. And then I won by landslide on Facebook of people thinking it was me.
And is the Creole seasoning in there as well?
I don't see that.
I don't think the
Nah.
I see thyme and cumin.
Tony's Creole seasoning. That's mine.
Oh, it is?
Oh, that's yours?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh!
That surprises me. It seems like Bart wouldn't have that. Like, it's a little bit too disorganized for Bart.
Wait, Bart's not a very organized person.
He's not?
No.
I thought he was, like, really, like, everything had to be in its place.
No.
No.
No, absolutely not. Typically, I am, but it's, like, it's either one or the other. Either something's really, really organized or something's really, really messy. There is no in-between. So... that's our spice rack. but we have every spice imaginable, so. Okay.
What? No, it's not.
It's not. Whose is it? Oh.
It's Kaylee.
We should have known with the cumin. It was Kaylee.
Oh, what? So that wasn't.
Wait, that's not yours?
Oh. But the picture that Mo was looking at was mine.
Number three?
I'm looking at number three.
No, it's not.
Three with the jumble?
This is going to make a lot more sense to you guys when you go to our Facebook page and see all the pictures.
Sorry, that's not mine.
Not yours.
It's like you got the picture in front of you and I'm sleeping with the numbers.
Typical Bert show right here.
I'm like, wait a minute. No, we have a lot more spices than that. That's not mine. Your wife got mad at you, though, Kaylee.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She's like, you posted that picture of our spice drawer. I was like... yeah, why not? That's the way it looks.
This next picture, this one screams Abby to me because it's just like cutesy. It's a cutesy spice rack.
You think I have a sign that says grateful, thankful, blessed in my home?
Yes.
This is a 50-year-old woman's home.
Oh, no. I know whose that is.
Screw you.
Is that Tommy?
Is this Tommy? Yes.
Well, I do live with a 50-some-year-old woman.
That's right. Who is also very blessed. And sees it every day. She's a pastor.
It's very organized.
I knew those. That tile work. So I knew that was Tommy's house.
All right, this spice rack here, again, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it. It's not real organized, but it's got your basics in there. It's got your garlic. It's got your Old Bay. Your basics, wooden shelves, kind of dark, not real organized.
That's mine.
That's you.
Okay. Okay.
Somebody said it's Bert's because the spices are healthy and they're near the ground.
Because I'm changed. Yeah,
have to read.
Oh, no.
Wow. That's a good observation. This one is only, we're only 4 spices on a counter. Lowry's seasoning sauce, a salt and pepper shaker, one other season.
Morton's.
With some olive oil. Morton's with some olive oil behind it.
I think that's Rebecca.
Probably Rebecca.
Rebecca, is that yours?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Because of the unique the salt and pepper shakers, if I remember correctly.
Who is that on there? John Waters. John Waters, yeah.
One is pink, one is blue. Yeah. Makes total sense.
Yeah.
The next one doesn't seem to be in a rack at all. It's in a drawer. Organized.
Yes.
You got chili pepper, you got oregano, you got... seasoning salts, but it's not even in a rack. It's in a drawer with some plastic wrap as well.
What is a social media thing?
Insta and Facebook, landslide Bert.
Why is that?
Well, you already said you keep yours in a drawer.
Oh, right? There you go. Yep, that was mine.
Come on, Columbo.
Yeah, I don't even have a rack. So they're all up online. If you got what okay, does it say you. Anything about their personalities?
I think it does. I'm not sure what it says, but I'm sure it says something. I'm not kidding you though, it was driving me crazy that I couldn't figure out whose is whose.
Does it feel satisfying to you now?
I feel so much better now.
Okay,
thank you.
Good.
Seriously.
Hey, welcome back, by the way.
Thanks, yeah.
You're feeling crappy yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And
feeling crappy today too.
Jimmy gave you something. You gave to Cassie. We're a very giving Bert show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can be Cassie doesn't have it. The kids had it.
Right.
And then so there's something going on. There's a crud going around, especially with kids. And Jimmy had like a little cold. But yeah, kids have a cold. When they pass it on to adults, you get it times 10. Mm. So whatever they had, you know, he hasn't been lethargic. He still has tons of energy. He's had a... And I was over here yesterday, like, I could not breathe out of either one of my nostrils. I was a mouth breather that night, and I was coughing up stuff. I felt like I was that kid in Stranger Things that was coughing up like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
We get it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I am here, but I am not.
All right, you're on. You're operating at about 60% today?
If we're lucky.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
All right, what email, what do you have, what drama, I should say? I'm still trying to wake up this morning also. That's going on in your life that you want to share with Burt Show, go ahead, hit us up at theburtshow.com. In this case, is the universe telling her time and time again for her to date her sorta boss? Sorta boss.
Hey, Burt Show. I think the universe is telling me to date my sorta, kinda boss. Let me set the stage for you. I got out of a long-term relationship 4.5 years a few months back, and I'm starting to date again. I joined Hinge, which I hear Abby talk about.
A lot.
And built the best profile I could. I've been on Hinge for a month now, and my sorta boss keeps popping up in my compatible, quote-unquote, suggestions. Let's call him Chad. Mm. Chad works as an assistant manager in a department that works very close with mine. I don't report to him, but work with his team daily.
Let me ask you a question here, Abby, before we go on. With Hinge, is it just based on, like, pictures, or is there an algorithm, a survey that you fill out first that kind of puts you guys in front of each other, or is it more superficial than that?
So I think what this person is referring to is sometimes Hinge will give you a most compatible suggestion. So every day, whatever, like, wizards are working in the Hinge world, they will say, this is the person that we think is most compatible for you based off of, like, how likable you are and how likable they are. So I think what she's trying to say is, or whoever this person is trying to say, that Hinge wants them to be together.
Okay.
I don't work with Chad daily, but join meetings with him every few weeks. We're on project teams together and more. The reason I say he's sorta a boss of mine is that I do have to follow his direction. He has a say in which projects my team pursues, provides feedback on me to my direct manager, etc. Anyhow, Chad and I have known each other for as long as I've been with my company, which is about 5 years. We've leaned on each other during our respective breakups, know a good deal about each other's personal lives, and oddly enough, have met each other's parents through our work. And yes, both of our moms like the other one of us. Now that we're both single, there's some flirty energy between us. Chad got promoted about a year ago, and our friendship/banter hasn't changed. Back to Hinge. He shows up on my feed daily, like multiple times. When I see his profile, I become conflicted and close the app. I certainly find him attractive, and it's clear our personalities mesh well. But he's my sorta boss. So what do you say, Burt Show? Do I pursue my sorta kinda boss or continue my Hinge experience? The conflicted new dater.
Let's go to Abby first on this one.
So I think because there's actually flirty energy in real life, I actually don't think it'd be too much of a jump to actually like him on Hinge. Because here's the thing. This has happened to me before where I've been in like a community of people and this person will keep popping up and they liked me at one point and I wasn't interested. So all I had to do was just decline the invite and pretend like it never happened. And so hopefully, best case scenario, like, you maybe throw some feelers out there, you like him back or you like him. And if he doesn't like you, maybe he'll just ignore it and pretend it never happened.
Me personally, I don't like to date someone I work with. But if that wouldn't stop you, isn't Hinge like a situation where if you like them and they don't like you back, they just won't ever know you like them?
Exactly.
So I just let the universe take its course at that point. Just like him. And if he happens to like you back, he'll probably shoot his shot first. And if you don't mind dating somebody you work with, you can go for it.
In-office dating and specifically a sort of boss.
Yeah, no. I just binged The Morning Show. And so if you don't know the premise of it, not to spoil it, but it's a lot of dating at work that does not go well. It's a whole Matt Lauer situation. Obviously, that is extreme. Mm-hmm. Because what he did was, you know, sexual assault and harassment and sexual misconduct. And that's what the show is based on. But there's people in the show that did have relationships at work, and everything got super blurred because there were power dynamics going on. And they wanted to make sure they were minding their P's and Q's, because this was right during the heat of the Me Too movement. So I think it's more complicated now than it ever was to date somebody you work with, especially if there is a power, if there's a power difference. So I know you're the one making the move, not him. But I don't think I would now. I think I did back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't think I would now.
You were going the same direction I was going. Because the last time I was truly, truly single and not a mess, like after my divorce and I was dating, it was just a different time. And I'll be honest with you, I was reckless. I mean, there were, you know, it was verbally said, you just don't date anybody in the office. I didn't care, man. I was just reckless. But it was a different time. Now things have evolved so much, I don't think I would touch it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go anywhere near it.
But again, I literally just binged the morning show, so yeah. I'm very fresh off that.
Yeah, I think you got, if you want to play it absolutely safe, wait until you guys are in different offices. But also, the allure is there every single day, and that is tough. That kind of temptation is really tough to deny every day.
Yeah, be strong.
I'm always going to believe in love. I say go for it.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Break the rules.
I like them.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The sixth season of Black Mirror almost had an episode completely written by AI. This is so freaky. I hope writers are shaking in their boots. But according to Entertainment Weekly, writer Charlie Brooker decided to mess around with ChatGPT. He's like, let me just see what it could come up with. I'm going to go into ChatGPT. I'm going to type in generate Black Mirror episode and just see what it comes out with. And Charlie said when he first read it, he was like, yeah, seems legit. It's pretty good, actually. And then he read it again and he's like, wait a second. There's not a single original thought in this script. So he completely scrapped it. But something good did come out of it. He said, you know, it caused me to think a little bit more outside the box. I feel like I have a certain set of rules that I follow when it comes to episodes. And I'm throwing all that away for the next season.
Yeah, I think ChatGPT is effective in just like getting something done. Like he's saying, like, there wasn't a lot of depth to it. Remember a couple of weeks ago when Kristen asked it to write a commencement speech, it was all filled with cliches and stuff like that. It's not going to give you anything personal, but it's going to get the job done.
Yeah, it's like if your homework is not done at 11:59, you're like, shoot, it's got to be in at midnight. You do it, you submit something in, it looks legit. But I mean, one of the best parts about like TV and movies and having like a team of writers is having people to like really dig deep and be creative.
I didn't think about, for some reason, it should have been my first thought, but like teachers who have to deal with this. And now you have to go through that's something else you have to look for when you're going through these like tests and going through these papers. Did your students actually write this or did they not?
Yeah, there was a case that went viral a couple of days ago from a student maybe in the seventh grade that did just that. But what they forgot to do was eliminate the disclaimer that ChatGPT uses at the very bottom where it says something to the effect of, I'm not exactly sure what the disclaimer is either, but it's like, what we say is not intended for blank, 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 and blank, and she forgot to take it out.
Oh,
she
got busted. Yeah. I can also imagine the database for ChatGPT is probably not that big. So if you and like at least one other classmate are thinking the same thing, like generate history paper, you're probably going to turn in the same thing, and that's like very easy plagiarism.
You know, the teacher's assistant eventually to see if ChatGPT is being used during papers is probably ChatGPT. Yeah. Think of that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Was it like an NBA player who made an apology?
Ja Morant.
And somebody put in, make an apology, blah, 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 in ChatGPT, and it literally spit out word for word verbatim what he said?
Word for word.
Yeah.
He really tried to apologize with the ChatGPT. Like people wouldn't look that up and see it. And no, they did it. And he didn't change a word in it.
This was a dude that was taking a lot of heat in basketball because he was waving a gun around a couple of different times.
And, not on the court.
No, not on the court. That's a different dimension.
Different.
Yeah. Maybe for the playoffs.
The ratings will go up. Right. For sure.
And a lot of people were coming down on him, and he made that apology that really wasn't authentic at all.
Yeah, so it looks like the writers of Black Mirror, safe for now. Same with The Morning Show, because Jennifer Aniston says season 3 of The Morning Show is going to be extra juicy. She's told People magazine that this season everybody's getting into trouble And it's going to be a lot more sensual this year.
Well, everybody was already getting into trouble. I don't know how much more trouble they can get into.
Right. They're just going to dial it up a little bit. But John Hamm is joining this season, and supposedly he's playing a romantic interest. Season one, of course, centered around Me Too. The second around the pandemic. And the third, Reese Witherspoon said, like, back in 2021 when she was teasing, like, what they're going to be working on. She said it was probably going to be about life post-quarantine and what it was going to be like to see how, like, the culture of the workspace has shifted now that everyone's back and like desperately trying to get back to normal. It's supposed to come out in late September, so I know you're going to be excited about that.
Yeah, considering I literally, because I'm so behind the game, and I didn't realize we had Apple Plus because my husband got it to watch soccer games. And so it was like a pleasant little surprise, and I'm like, oh, well then I will binge Morning Show.
Gosh, you know, as a sidebar here, I don't know if you guys are into soccer or not, but I wonder how many people signed up yesterday for soccer with Lionel Messi announcing that he's going to be coming to America to play next season.
Oh, he is?
He is. Yeah, it's a really, really big deal. Miami.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. 26 years after his death, Tupac was honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. His sister accepted the award on his behalf, and it was so touching. She was like holding back tears the whole time and giving this speech. And like for a moment, she couldn't even get words out because she was so like emotional about it. Obviously, she said, today we're not just honoring a star in the ground, but we're honoring the work and the passion that he's put into making his dreams come true. His heavenly star will shine a little bit brighter today.
He obviously deserves it. I do wonder, though, like if you get the star because like after you pass away, does someone still have to pay for it? Because you do, someone still has to pay for it?
I'm sure, yeah.
And it's not nearly as expensive as you would think it is.
Isn't it?
I remember us looking this up years
like
ago.
Like $20,000 or something?
It was even less than that, I think.
Really?
How much does a star? Oh.
They go up? Inflation.
I'm about to say, if you're going to say it's $500, man, we're all getting one.
How much is it now?
$75,000.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Never mind. Fans of a superhero franchise will be sad to hear its lead wants to take a step back from acting. I'll tell you more in your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Yeah, she's worked hard at it. Takes a lot of discipline, right? To lose some weight, decide, you know what? I'm done. I don't feel great about myself right now. I'm going to get healthier. So she lost a bunch of weight, and she does feel really good about herself, but she can't help but be a little bit annoyed that one of her friends doesn't seem real happy for her. Kristen's got the email.
I embarked on my weight loss journey a little over a year ago and have since lost 80 pounds. I'm exercising and eating right. I'm happier, healthier, and more active and confident than ever before. My best friend of 6 years was very supportive and encouraging in the beginning. As the pounds dropped off, she would proudly champion my accomplishments to others and tell me how happy she was for me. But now that I've hit my goal weight, she's starting to act differently. She says things that really hurt me and play on my insecurities. One time I mentioned that I was planning on wearing a crop top to a concert, and she said, but crop tops are for skinny people.
No.
Before this, she'd always encouraged me to wear whatever makes me feel comfortable. I love her and deeply value her support, but feel that she's lashing out at me over her own body issues. She used to be thinner, but has steadily been gaining weight and has tried lots of different diets to no avail. Her weight has crept up to the point where she's bigger than me now. At an exercise class we went to together, she bemoaned the fact that she is now the fattest girl in the room like I used to be. How do I cope with her negativity in a way that will be healthy for our friendship and for me?
I've said this before that I think in a lot of cases, your quote-unquote friends want you to do really well. Really well, just a little bit less well than they're doing, right? And once you pass that threshold, then you really find out who your friends are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think there's nothing you can do to really cope with this because this obviously seems like she's projecting. So this is a thing that's within her. And I think she should be honest with how she feels about her and how her words are making her feel. And at that point, I think her reaction to you telling her how you feel will tell you everything you need to know about moving on with the friendship.
So how do you even open up a conversation like that?
I would be honest. Like, the next time she makes one of those comments that I don't like, I would probably wait for it, and then I would try to get to the bottom of why you're making that comment. Like, what exactly do you mean by that, and what does that do for you to talk to me that way?
Like, if this is a best friend, she used the word best friend, right? And I know we've often debated, like, what constitutes a best friend. But if she's using the word the best friend, for like using the, but crop tops are only for skinny people. If your best friend makes a comment like that and it hurts your feelings in that moment, right then and there, I would have been like, that was really mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Would you have?
Yeah, I've done
it. You would say that before?
I do now. Like, Kristen in her 20s wouldn't, but like something happened recently. My friend did something and it hurt my feelings, and I actually texted her and told her. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, this, I wish you would have handled this differently. This really hurt my feelings. And we had a nice little chat about it and it was done. Because you should be able to have those type of conversations with your best friend.
Exactly. Like, it's uncomfortable in the moment. Like, nobody wants to have like a tense conversation about people hurting each other's feelings. But at some point, she's going to say so many different things to where it's going to build up all this unspoken resentment to where one day your friendship is probably just going to end. Probably because of you, because you have had all of this like unspoken tension and you haven't confronted it and let it out. So you got to start communicating how you're feeling so it doesn't end up breaking what could become stronger by you just talking about your feelings.
Is it even possible just to like be so far above this that you realize that her comment isn't about you at all and not address it at all?
It's okay. And it's not about you, it's about her, but that doesn't give her the right to say things that hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So she still deserves to be called out and called on the carpet for the things she's saying. Because you don't deserve to be treated poorly just because somebody's going through a bad time. And it's one of those, like, you never know what somebody's going through. And there's this fine line to walk where you do give people some grace because you don't know what their daily struggles are. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So you don't want to take everything personal. Mm-hmm. So I do, like, I subscribe to that wholeheartedly. But if it's a best friend and, yeah, she's going through something, like, you forgive her. The instance would be, like, if she said that and you cut her off and you never spoke to her again. Well, she's obviously going through some body self-esteem issues. But that, like, you can forgive her and give her grace, but still let her know it's not okay for you to say things like that to me.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like an emotional slap. Like, I mean, if somebody was to come up and like hit you hard on the arm, like you can cerebrally go, oh, like they're going through something. Like they didn't mean to do that. But like, it still hurts. Like you can't help the fact that like what they said really hurt your feelings and is probably going to stick with you, especially if she's somebody that's been struggling with her weight and has been going on a health journey. Like it will really get in your head if your closest friend, the person who's supposed to have your back, says something that's so harmful.
Yeah, it could be really deflating, especially if you've ever tried to lose any weight at all. You know how much work that is, how much discipline that takes. It is on your mind 24/7. So if you lose all this weight, yes, it feels good for you, but you want your family, which is what I consider a best friend to be, to also be happy for you. So I think you're right. You gotta say something.
I think we're all in agreement. Like Mo said, I wouldn't. It's like the things she's already said are past, but the next time she says something that cuts, call her out on it.
Amen.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
The Burt Show.
So there are all sorts of flags now. We were talking about these yesterday when it comes to dating. You got your red flags, which are absolutely like, okay, there's a red flag. I should just move on. You got your green flags, which we talked about yesterday also. Oh, wow, I can't believe this guy or this girl is so great. They thought about me during blah, blah, blah. Green flag. Beige flags. Little itty bitty things that kind of annoy you, but you can get around them. So our intern Kayla here goes out with a guy, and he is saying there's one thing about her that is a major red flag that she don't quite understand.
I don't understand it at all. He said that my red flag is that I am into astrology and zodiac signs, that I believe in them. And I was absolutely hurt, crushed, like just offended by such a topic. Because to me, like people who are not into zodiac signs or astrology or don't believe in it, they're always the people that are most like their sign to me. Like it's always that mindset. And I don't get people who like, people see astrology as something extremely just foreign concept, as Little Romeo here says it, as a modern day religion. It's like there's some negative aspects. Every sign has their negative traits, but every sign also has their positives.
My one of my favorite memes, and I just saw it yesterday when I was scrolling Instagram. A son texted his mom, "Hey, what time was I born and where was I born?" And the mom responds back, "Stay away from that girl."
I think if you've ever dabbled in astrology, like even if you're sort of a doubter about it, if you dabble in it, it's scary how accurate it can be. But it's gotten so complicated over the years, man. It used to be just there were 12 yeah. signs, and now there are 3 or 4 signs under every sign. Your house Targaryen.
They
blended families. It's a blended family.
Now I'm picturing Kim Kardashian on a dragon, and it's amazing.
Yes.
It just wouldn't come out the way I wanted it to. But now there's like all sorts of different houses under the sun and stuff, and you can't even figure it out.
It's too much.
So it does get to be too much, but I have met also people that are into it. But then there are those that are so hardcore that they're checking their horoscope every day and they dictate what they're going to do in their day based on their horoscope. Is that you?
No, that's not me. Okay. It's not that. That's the thing. I'm not that deep into it. Like, I believe in it. I am diehard, strict Virgo to the core. And, you know, like, I have traits that flows along with. And we as interns were like, it's all about it. Whatever traits I can't find in my parents, I can find in my sign.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I related to me.
But do you ever feel like that because you know the traits of the sign that you end up acting them out rather than them actually being you?
Nope, because I don't even notice it half the time. My mom was like, "Kayla, that's such a Virgo thing to do." I'm like, no, it's not. That's just me. That's just my personality. It's not my sign.
And Romeo's not buying this at all.
Dude, I just think it's a load of crap, honestly. I really do look at it as a way of modern religion. I think as human beings, we need guidance and we need something to believe in. And I think that while there's no, like, God figure, like, the stars are the way of, like, it's kind of like why the Bible's so great. Like, if you open up the passage, you'll find something that fits into you, what you're going through on your daily struggle. And I think if you open up a Bible, you're going to find something that relates to you. And mm-hmm. horoscopes are the same way. You're going to find something that relates to you. Because when I ask them, she says that everybody who doesn't believe in it is like their sign. So when I ask her, okay, what do you think my sign is? I'm an Aries. I was a Leo. I was whatever else. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, I could probably be anything because anything fits. Anything is going to relate to me. Like, I just think that, like, they're writing things that are going to relate to you no matter what.
Mo, you're into all this.
Yeah, I mean, I get both sides of it. I have learned in life that the people who don't believe in astrology typically don't know anything about astrology. Like, they haven't actually done the research to see what if it fits or if it doesn't. But if you look up your birth chart, like, I'm not the guy that just every day I'm looking to see what a Virgo should do and what a Virgo shouldn't do and then basing my life on it. But if you look up your birth chart, the actual day you were born, attached to your sign, it'll tell you things about your specific personality that there's genuinely no way you can deny it. Mm-hmm. But every single time I've heard somebody say they don't believe in it, they've never seen their birth chart. So for me, I don't even debate it because people will come at me like I birthed astrology. Like, I don't, it's not my child. I don't care. But the accuracy in it, once you research it, is undeniable.
What are the signs that are least likely to believe in astrology? Oh, are there certain ones?
The hard-headed signs. The more hard-headed signs that feel like, this is not for me, but from what people would say, they don't necessarily go with the flow of things. They rather, like, create waves, which honestly is typically Virgo is one of them. Aquarius is another. Gemini, for sure. We just don't necessarily just believe things. So usually you'll get more challenges out of those signs.
So those, okay.
I'd say those are the three that mostly don't believe things more than any other sign.
Because my husband doesn't believe in any of this.
Right. Your husband is, yeah, he is very practical.
Very, but he's not any of those signs.
Astrology is not like Santa. Like, I don't think anybody should believe in it or not believe or anything. Like, I think it's just more like if you focus on the base of each sign, there are just certain things that you'll know about each person before you actually get to know them that usually adds up, and it's just that simple.
I got one that takes it next step. I dated a girl a long time ago that would call her psychic every day, first thing in the morning. Not astrology, her psychic every day. Psychic would give her her reading, and she would dictate what she was doing in her life every day based on a 60-second analysis by the psychic in the morning.
Why would you give somebody that much power over your life?
That's another level.
Because you're scared to make decisions yourself.
What sign is that?
Psycho.
The 13th sign. Psycho.
I don't believe it, no.
The Burt Show.
You've been turning down guys for years and years and years because he's just not my type. He's not my type. And you've been doing that for a really long time. And maybe it's time to stretch yourself a little bit and come outside of your comfort zone and start dating outside your type. It's not my type. And that's exactly what Abby has been doing over the course of the last couple of months with her dating bingo card.
Yeah, so my mom had this idea for me when she came to visit me in town one time. We were scrolling through my Bumble and she noticed, she's like, Abby, you kind of have a very specific type. You just swipe on what we have now called unseasoned white boys, different variations of Jim Halpert, just the most bland looking accountant looking men you have ever seen. Like, that's my type. And so she's like, we really should do something that makes it fun to go outside your comfort zone. Cause it's really, you know, it's kind of, dating apps aren't fun already. It's already hard putting yourself out there and getting ready for a date and meeting some rando that you've been talking to on the internet. So going outside your type is makes that already a little bit more uncomfortable.
Just very curious before you go on, just as a case study here, Kristen, would you say that Bart was your type and you were Bart's type?
I really don't know what his type was.
Don't ask.
Yeah, no. No, but you remember when I didn't know about any of his exes and I hadn't seen any pictures. And oh, I sat here, remember, on the air and I looked at pictures, and then Tommy pulled like some random mugshot of some hottie and I'm like, WTF. So I want to say, yes, I fit into his type. As far as if I'm looking at the guys I dated before him.
Aren't you into like muscle heads and stuff?
Yeah, I was like in like these, like my dating Antichrist was a beef head, a meat head, whatever.
A beef head.
I think I went to take meat head. I took meat head and beefcake and made a beef head.
That's a butcher.
Yeah. But I mean, I could see some similarities with some of the guys I dated in the past.
Personality-wise, were they the same?
Well, no, because I think personality-wise, I would have stuck with them. You know what I mean? Like, Bart has a very unique personality.
Indeed.
And I say that lovingly. So I've never personality-wise dated anybody. He's by far the most intelligent man I've ever dated.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. And so as far as he went with wholesome girls, and would you describe me as wholesome?
Wholesome looking?
Gosh!
Because I would say if I didn't know you.
Yeah.
I would say yes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm wholesome looking. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's like a compliment. I don't think it's an insult. I think it just is.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
Like girl next door-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, cool. I don't look like I'm going to get into a lot of trouble.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So one of those things.
Carry on.
So anyway, I'm out in Jacksonville, my hometown, last week while we're on vacation. I'm with some gal pals. We're out drinking at a bar. And this guy and a couple of his other guy friends come over and start talking to my friends. We're like, ooh, guy group, so fun. And me and this one guy start hitting it off to where we almost like kind of break off from the group. And we start chit-chatting. It's like 2 a.m. And at some point, he mentions to me, like, he says something about Hanukkah. So I'm like, oh my gosh, you're Jewish. And one of the things on my bingo card is I had to date somebody outside my religion.
Did you tell him that? Like, I'm really not interested in you, but I need to cross Jewish off my bingo card list, and you might work.
Listen, this is like 2.5 hours. I was already very clearly into this man. I was like doing that thing where you touch their forearm and you're like, you. I was really into this guy. But here's the thing. If I had seen him on a dating app and seen Jewish, you know, 3 weeks prior to this, I probably would have said no. Because like even you had mentioned this yesterday, like if your values and the way you see life don't typically line up, it seems like it's a relationship that wouldn't work. And so I grew up very devoutly Christian, been pretty Christian throughout my whole life. And so I've kind of always looked for that on dating apps, like either Christian or maybe like unspecified, maybe I could like convert them. And so,
so if a dude is saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but he's not God, then you're like, I'm out.
Well, that would be then you're that's like an oxymoron almost. Like if you don't believe now I'm going to get preachy.
Because Jews believe in Jesus, they just don't believe that he's God.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. So that's essentially what, yes, of course. So that would be a big no for me because I'm like, okay, well, we have conflicting values. We don't believe the same things. But since I've been reevaluating a lot of things in my life, I'm like, you know what? Let me be a little bit open-minded. And when he asked me out on a date, I said yes.
Okay.
And so we went out like the day after a couple days after. And we're out grabbing a bev and we're hitting it off. And I'm like, wow, I really like this guy. And we've been talking for like 2.5-3 hours. And we get to the point where we start talking about like holidays and what it's like to go home for the holidays. And I brought up the fact that we had different religions. And I was like, how do you celebrate? Is this a big deal in your family? And he goes, oh, no, not really. And I was like, oh, okay. So like, you know, I know you grew up, your family's Jewish. Like, is that something that's important to you? And he's like, no, not really. And it got to the point where like, I would have almost rather have had a conversation about, you know, how important that was to him and what it was like growing up. And it kind of made me realize that it wasn't necessarily the fact that we had different religions that would have been a turnoff. It was more the fact that it didn't mean anything to him at all.
Like any kind of religion.
Yeah, because my faith has always been a big deal for me growing up. And even if I was to like denounce everything tomorrow and decide not to be a Christian, it still shaped a lot of how I grew up and how I view the world. And it was kind of a buzzkill in the conversation to where I felt like I couldn't have a deep conversation with him on that level. And was
on any religion.
It didn't mean anything. My faith has always been a big part of my sure. life and how like it shaped me. So the fact that we couldn't connect on that level was really, a turnoff is like the wrong word, but an off-putting like too much, but I felt like we couldn't gel on that level.
So just so I'm interpreting this right, you're not saying that you were turned off by him being a Christian. You are not Christian. You were turned off that he had no spiritual roots at all.
Yeah.
In like, any religion.
He didn't believe in anything at all. And when something's so deeply like ingrained in you, when you feel like you can't connect on that part, it honestly kind of turned me off from the whole potential relationship to begin with. Like I almost wish we could have had a conversation about how his religion shaped his life instead of just being like, yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me. Because I'm like, okay, well, we've just had a great superficial conversation, but what other deep things can we talk about? Mm-hmm. And so it did kind of steer the date in a different direction,
okay.
I will say.
But you still are trying?
We've been like talking like very casually. I mean, he lives in Jacksonville, so like I only go back every so often. So it was a kind of a mixture of like, damn, I like didn't realize this about myself. Like I was kind of thinking maybe I am willing to be more open-minded and not take religion so seriously. But yeah, maybe that's not something I'm willing to give up yet.
What you're learning by doing this. Yeah. I think it's really important.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say also, that even though this may or may not work out, you're experimenting with so many other things that it's really giving you clarity inevitably on who you want to be with. I think it's great. Yeah.
Exactly.
The Burt Show.
Let me throw this at you guys. Let's say we're playing a spontaneous game of Family Feud, right? And the question would be the reasons, top five reasons why relationships fail.
Can I go first?
Top five, yes.
All right, I'm going to say cheating. Wow, that's a double A.
Double buzzer.
All right, so we have one X. Mo, yep. You're next.
Finances.
No, it was mine.
Finances.
That's gotta be number one. Now, what 100 people did you serve?
Yeah, that's what I want. All right, we got two. Abby, keep us alive.
Poor communication.
Ooh, that's a good one. Good one. Good one.
Good answer. Good answer.
Good answer. What? You're lying.
I'm a buzzer right now, a little Steve. the five that people are saying now that contribute to failed relationships, number five, being too obsessed with their pet. is number five.
Yeah, they can't follow me on Instagram. They'll just be like, this cat lady.
Okay, that's stupid.
Four, no sense of humor.
Okay. Mm.
Three, poor hygiene.
Mm, that'll do it.
Read the question again that was asked.
These are the biggest contributors to failed relationships.
I'm not sure I believe this.
Yeah, because like when I say failed relationship, this means like you are boyfriend, girlfriend. Like these sound to me like the top five reasons why a relationship won't start.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, give me the top two answers of why your relationship won't start.
Won't start. Ooh, okay. I feel like that makes more sense with these answers than like an actual relationship.
Yeah. You only got two left. The two reasons why relationships never get off the ground.
Okay.
Bad sex.
Oh.
That was number 18.
Oh, damn.
18. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
You can be really bad in bed and still get shot after shot after shot.
Children.
Your buzzer needs serious help now.
I'm trying to protect my vocal cords.
You talk about your ex too much?
Ooh.
Obsessed with work.
Ooh. Good one.
Come on.
That is not on the board.
All right.
There's still two more.
We have, okay, and like, let's match energy here. Obsessed with pet, bad hygiene,
social media.
Ooh. Yes! All overuse of social media.
Okay.
Number two with 42%.
We only got one more to go.
Number one. Why doesn't this relationship take off?
I don't know. What could it be?
Social media, hygiene.
Too self-absorbed?
No.
Obsessed with their parents?
No.
Family interference?
No. No!
All right, what is it?
Clinginess. Family feud reaction.
A little bit on the obsessive side.
Yeah.
I'll find you.
That's exactly. All right, so the one that got away happened a decade ago. And
can we do that again? That was fun.
And you can get them right the next round?
Yeah.
So, she hits us up. It was Janelle. This was requested by Janelle Jones. And she's like, last August, there was a woman named Eva. It's amazing to me the details you guys remember in these. She had the one that got away. His name was Jason. Last I remember, they were supposed to get together for drinks. Can I get a Thursday follow-up? Sure you can.
All right, so when Eva started dating Jason, he had two younger kids. She loved him and his kids, but she wasn't ready to be in a serious relationship that would lead to becoming a stepmom, so the two split. She regretted the decision and soon after tried to get back with him, but Jason denied her because he didn't want her coming in and out of his kids' life. Fast forward 10 years, Eva is now recently divorced with a child of her own. She often thought about Jason and waited to know if he was single. He was and was open to speaking to Eva again. Last we heard, Eva directly reached out to him. The two were scheduled to meet for drinks the following weekend, but we never received an update. How did it go? Are they still in contact with one another?
Hey, Bert Show, your email made me laugh because it's funny how time flies. I can't believe it's been almost a year since that drink meeting with Jason. Let me try to recall the hazy details and give you an update. To be honest, that evening feels like a distant memory now. We met up as planned, and we did have a good time catching up. There were moments of laughter and reminiscing, but as for the specifics, it's all a bit blurry. What I do remember is that we both realized we had changed quite a bit since we last saw each other. Our lives had taken different paths, and it became clear that we had grown apart. It was a bit emotional for me to see him, but it was very evident that a relationship was never going to be in the future for us. After that, we did exchange a few messages and stayed in touch for a little while. However, as time went on, the frequency of our conversations gradually dwindled. Mm. But hey, no regrets. Life is full of twists and turns, and we learn and grow from each experience. That's where things stand. I'm sorry if it's not the juicy update you were hoping for, but I think it's for the best. Eva.
Yeah, we've said this before about these. I think you get wrapped up in all the feelings and emotions of what it was like back in the day, but he's changed so much, you've changed so much that time's passed.
Yeah, she had taken that man she knew 10 years ago and created like somebody in her head. And when you go in with those types of expectations, there's no way a person's going to meet that.
Right.
At least you got the closure, though. Now you know you can move on and it wouldn't have worked out if you did get it back.
Exactly.
The Burt Show.
So it was weeks ago that Mo was telling us about this really interesting dude that you met on a flight, right?
I met him on a plane.
Met on a plane that was fed up and was changing his life that day.
Like I'd never met somebody who appeared to be so spontaneous, but he was living his best life. And I did not think I would ever hear from him again, but I was so happy when I did. So, yeah, I was getting on a flight on my way to see my family, I believe. And I'm sitting next to a guy. And he has like a drink in his hand, and it was pretty clear that he was enjoying himself. Big smile, made himself a nice little cocktail, and he appeared to be on his way to have some kind of fun. He just seemed like an interesting guy.
And he's older gentleman, right?
Older gentleman, I would assume he was probably in his like 70s, early to mid 70s, and living his best life. And so I assumed he was going on some kind of vacation. And we started to strike up a conversation, and I'm always talking about how normally I'm very to myself in public, so I'll have my headphones on, and, you know, usually I won't try to speak too much. But he started off his conversation with telling me I found out my wife cheated on me. So, well, that's worth talking about. So I put the headphones to the side, and he literally just starts telling me his story of how he had been married for all of these years, but if he was being honest with himself, and, you know, he didn't really want to be married, and it was a woman who always was the one that got away from him, but the situations didn't work out, their families didn't want them to be together, so he went with what was the safer choice, quote unquote, and that's how he ended up married. And then all these years later, they have a few kids, but this day he comes home and he finds out that his wife had been having an affair on him for, I think, the last year or so. And once he found out that information, he literally, like, and so that's right. He broke it down to me. He said he was speaking to the one that got away because she had reached out to him on Facebook and he hadn't heard from her for years, but he just so happened to. And then days later, he finds out that his wife is cheating on him. So he wanted to go see her, but he was never going to go because he was married. But then when the way this aligned, he thought, this is perfect timing. I'm just going to go.
This is the universe giving me the green light.
Right. So I'm asking him, I'm like, when did all this happen? He's like, today. Like the day I met him is the day he found out his wife was cheating on him and the same day that he booked the flight to go see the one that got away.
So he was all heated, wasn't even thinking about it.
Nope. Yeah. He was like, I'm gone. I did my time. It's been a long time.
I did my time.
I am out of here.
Marriage jail.
Yes. So I was like, okay, cool. And then that was really the end of our conversation. We talked about life a little bit. And then I asked him, I reached out to him on Facebook before I was leaving. And I just said, hey, brother, I hope you made it to your destination. I don't know exactly what ended up happening, but you can hit me here anytime. I'd love to get an update from you about the way things worked out.
P.S. I need content for the radio.
Exactly.
And you'd really be helping me out if you answer my message.
Exactly.
I was invested. I needed to know if this panned out.
Which is funny because I don't know if I would have reached out had y'all not wanted me to, but I did. And I'm glad I did because I got back from vacation and he wrote me back. And this is what the message says.
Dear nosy bastard.
Hey, my man, I'm glad you made it back safe from the Maldives. It looked amazing. I did indeed make it to San Antonio myself. I'm not sure what day I got here. And I also am not sure about what day I am leaving.
Oh, come on.
And he put like the smoke emoji. He is older. I don't know if that's what he meant to put or not. But fine.
It's a smoke emoji.
I don't know why he put that. But he said, yes, we have hit it off, and it feels like no time has passed at all. It has, though. I can feel it in my bones, LOL. And neither of us are getting any younger or as young as we used to be, so we plan to spend as much time together as possible. I have only spoke to my wife once or twice. I'm not taking too many of her calls right now. We communicate through the kids, which is unfortunate, but I'm simply not ready to come back. My family is not happy about it, but for once, I'm doing something for me. There are some health issues going on with her that I won't disclose, but it's more reason I feel like I should be around. Either way, keep in touch. I'm happy to hear from you. You're a great young man, and maybe I will bring her to your next show. Ha, be blessed.
Aww.
Damn, dude.
That's incredible, man.
Right?
Wow. So he's still there.
He's still there, and it doesn't seem as if he plans on coming back anytime soon.
So look, I know nothing about his story. I know nothing about his marriage or anything like that. But I'm just going to assume that he wasn't happy in this marriage for a long time anyway.
Yeah.
So when he found out that she was messing around for a year, in his heart, he's like, this is my chance. Today is my chance. I've been waiting to escape from Love Shawshank.
I did my time.
And he used that as like, okay, this is a springboard to get out of there. And he really did it. But because I think if you're in a happy, happy marriage, or you think you're in a happy marriage and you find out she's cheating, you're probably sticking around. You're hurting for sure. Maybe you're getting counseling. Not this dude.
Nah, man. I heard somebody say life is not about what happens to you. It's how you handle it. And I guess this man is seeing it as a means to go ahead and live the life he's always wanted.
Now you need to hit him back up and be like, what did you mean by the smoke emoji?
I'm on it. I'll figure it out.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
So I did what a lot of Atlanta soccer fans did over the course of the last 24 hours. I guarantee others do it, right? So the ticket prices to go to an Atlanta United game for this Sunday's match, Saturday, I should say, against DC United, you can get a cheap ticket for about $30, right? That's not what I'm talking about here. What I did yesterday, like most Atlanta United fans, and if you haven't gone to a match yet, you really should go. It is exciting to go to an Atlanta United. It's a really a lot of fun, right? So I went to, what is the app that I'm using these days, man? It is...
Is it one that Hollis told you about so you can get last-minute tickets for really cheap?
Oh, Game Time?
That's the one I'm using. Yeah, it's been really, really great, man. You get these cheap seats, like, right up to kickoff time or whatever.
Aren't you proud we pay attention to when you talk?
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Because I stopped listening to me, like, 20 years ago. So I went yesterday, and I checked out to see how much it was going to cost for an Atlanta United ticket on September 16th. Why September 16th? Because they are playing Miami on the 16th. And yesterday we got strong indications that the GOAT, arguably the best soccer player to ever play the game of soccer, is going to be playing for Miami. And I think what a lot of people did yesterday is they bought tickets to the Miami-Atlanta game that's happening on September 16th. So the cheapest ticket I could find yesterday, $240.
Oh my gosh.
$30 for this Saturday, yep. $240 on September 16th.
Ooh. But
that quick.
In the soccer world, this is a really big deal.
It's huge.
It is super, super exciting. All right, Romeo is back because he got cut off yesterday. Kristen, you missed this. I have never seen Abby more appalled on this show than she was yesterday by Romeo and the amount of money that he's spending on likes.
What, like, so I know dating apps, mm-hmm. you can splurge.
Right.
So what are you spending your money on and how much are you spending?
Likes and about, like, I'm not spending, but... I thought about it. I was very close, but it was like about like $15 a week.
And why did you have to spend money
yeah.
on likes?
What are, like when you say spend money on likes, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. It means, okay, so when you sign up for these dating apps, you get a selective amount of likes. Uh-huh. And then after, that's the free trial
How
run.
How many do you get?
I have no idea.
Basically, if desperation had a cost, it would be $15 is what you're telling me.
Yeah. So that means he's like, it means he's looking at her and going, like, and then the next one comes up, like, and he's like spending all of his free likes too quickly. So he needs more likes.
I paid for it once, you know, but then it was like a weekly thing. And then I didn't realize that because I thought it was like most subscriptions, they're monthly. They're monthly. So I was like, all right, like a month, I can do like unlimited likes for a month. I think I can find love in a month. And it was like a weekly thing. And then,
it's $15 a week for unlimited likes.
Yeah.
So
wow.
So he comes on yesterday and Abby, who's on these sites all the time, was just like really taken aback. Like, bro, come on, man. You're spending way too much money on that.
Yeah, he told me he ran out of likes. I'm like, how do you run out of likes? There's a limit? I didn't know.
It's like running out of air is what she's saying.
So, is there that many hotties on there that you just want to spread the Romeo love?
For me? Yeah, like that's not my problem that there's a lot of hot women in Atlanta. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, there's fugly guys for you.
Yeah, but really, I just go through
or four likes a day. I'm like, he'll do.
But yeah, so they're there. And
okay, what's the return on investment? So you have these unlimited likes. How many likes you getting back?
You're not as much.
You're like, dating ROI. I like this.
Right?
The return isn't as great as I would have hoped. But that's the thing. That's where I'm struggling, because the few that do get to match back, mm-hmm. and get that investment back.
Yeah.
I've realized, and I was saying this, I was being critical, because on Bumble, the women message the guys first. Mm-hmm. And I was basically saying yesterday that women are just terrible at sliding into the DMs. It's just like a hi, hey, smiley face, and that's it. Like, there's no way of, like, breaking the ice or opening up or sliding in.
No, a hook to grab you.
Exactly. It's just like... it's just a hey, and then I got to be the one to come up with something at the end. But that's like, no, that's what Tinder is for. Like, if I want to be the one to reach for you, mm-hmm. I'm going to go to these other sites.
So on Bumble, then, you're getting women interested, mm-hmm. but their opening line is so bad that you're turned off by it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, and they don't have much on their profile sometimes, is that it's hard to... like, come up with something to talk about. You know what I mean? Because I've said, or at least I've realized that the best approach to start a conversation on these sites is to find something in a photo that you can ask a question. And so that's kind of where I was going with this, where I would message a girl and then I don't hear anything back.
I do agree with you, though. I know you're going to be shocked, but if the... like on Bumble, the woman is responsible for making the first move. I do feel like she should put some effort into it rather than just saying hi or like an emoji. And that there should be, you know, you found me interesting and you want to reach out to me. So show me a little effort.
Here's why
I don't disagree.
Here's why I think Mo and I disagreed with you yesterday, is that guys don't care about the words initially. I mean, as soon as you give them anything in a DM, they're going to go and look at your picture and judge if they want to be with you or not. So your opening line probably has less credit on a Bumble than it would a Tinder.
No, it does here, because typically. But because he's already liked them, so he already knows what they look like. He doesn't even have to go, like, he liked them.
No. On Bumble, she has to approach him.
I know she does, but he has to, like, you have to show that you like her in order for her to, like, reach out to you, right?
Yeah, we both have to swipe on each other.
So they both have swiped on each other, so he already finds her attractive. She already knows that he likes what he's looking at. Mm-hmm. So in that case, it's not, the words do matter, because you've already done that first step of looking at the pictures.
Words matter.
From the other side, though, every time I've come up with, like, a really unique or funny or catchy opening line, those are always the ones that fall flat. Those are always the guys that never respond back. But anytime I'm just like, hey, how was your weekend? It's such an easy opening line for them to respond to. Those are always the guys I get back.
That's why I love Bumble, because it gives, like, women the, you get to get the, like, you see what it's like for us. Because that's like, it's like that with guys too. Like, a lot of time, guys don't want to be as creative with the opening line, because you'll do that over and over and then you won't get a response. So you get to the point where you just like, okay, hey, because then that's, at least that won't be a waste of my time. So I think that's also why women do it, because they look at it like, well, you're going to see the pictures anyway, and then they still expect the guy to take the lead.
How is this different in the real world outside of the digital world? It's always been the biggest problem is your opening line. It's going to say everything about you, right? So there's so much pressure. It doesn't matter if you're in a bar or a restaurant or you're online. So what exactly are you looking for? Because if I'm online, all I want her to do is give me just a little hint that she might be interested in me, and that's all I need.
Right, no, it's just, that's the thing, it's just the starting line, or the starting conversation, it's the thing that gets me, because obviously they suck, and then I think my starting line sucks as well, so there's no win-win situation.
So you just don't want to lead the conversation.
Yeah, so it's like, because he feels like, especially on Bumble, you found me attractive, right. So she says, hey, so if he just says, hey back, is not should that not be he's literally matching energy, and we always say match energy.
Yeah, and that's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, that sounds crappy.
I'm actually Team Romeo here.
I think the pressure's on Romeo. I think if she reaches out and says, hey, I think the pressure now is on him not to just say hey back, or because that would be a immediate turnoff, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think just hey is super lame. That's why you just have to have like a casual question to get the conversation going. But I think what a lot of women feel on Bumble is sometimes there's a specific type of man that gets on Bumble that doesn't like to take the lead. And so sometimes you do kind of end up getting these guys that are like, well, tell me how great I am. Why wasn't that more creative? Why aren't you showing more interest? So
I'm catching a little bit of that.
That's the vibe.
That's me. You
should try. Yeah, it's the grass is brown everywhere, man. Right. Online or not, it's a Burt Show.
The Burt Show.